While the children are getting situated and parents will be coming back in, just two or three things. Amazing when you announce retirement, you got all kinds of dear friends that kind of show up. And we've got some wonderful friends that are sitting with us, the Finleys, Ken and Cindy Finley. And very active members in a wonderful church here in Columbia Compass, Ed Phillips, pastor there, a really good man. And we're glad that they're here, but I was just kind of thinking about them as we were dismissing the children and our teenagers. They lost one of their teenagers this week, just as we have lost Ray Dinker. They lost one of their teenagers this week. I think was actually a Christian fellowship. And so their church, as well as a Christian fellowship, have lost a precious young man. They're all precious, right? Let me say that again. They're all precious, right? Yeah. And then when I was one of the elders there at Christian Fellowship, I had one of my responsibilities was to teach 11th and 12th grade Bible class. And one of my, I've got two or three of those students that are here, but one of them showed up this morning. And so it's great to have the Sturkeys with us today. And so I'm really glad to see some folks from days gone by. Here's what Mark writes in chapter 1 and the very first four verses. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Of course, we know that that was talking about, as verse 4 tells us, John the Baptist, who appeared in the wilderness. Interesting. You'll find wilderness at various places in chapter 1. And while he was in the wilderness, what was he doing? Yeah, he was preaching. And it's a wonderful word from a word that probably the greatest opera singer ever to have lived. And I know David would take issue with that because he has others that he, Jeanette's husband is quite an opera buff. And but from this particular word here that we have translated in English, preaching is the word from which we, the Greek word from which we get the word karoos or karuso from. And so he was, this one John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching. He was karusoing a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's kind of strange, isn't it? That I would find the Christmas story in Mark's words, in Mark's gospel here. That's, I think, a part of the first family's Christmas story in this particular passage. I mean, after all, if you think about it, last week, Michael preached from Matthew's gospel. We find the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, not so much in Mark and John, but we will find the Christmas story in the gospel according to Mark this morning. But, you know, Matthew and what Michael spoke of last week, man, it was full of drama. You know, there was a lot of drama there, wasn't there? I mean, he's got Joseph and Mary, just kind of a snippet there, but the long list, the genealogy that that Michael went through, we got magi, we got stars, we got dreams. There's a lot of drama that was going on in Matthew's gospel. And not to be outdone, next week you'll be hearing from one of our other pastors, Ken Woodward, and he'll be speaking from Luke's gospel. There's a lot of drama in Luke's gospel. You got shepherds, you got stars and angels, and Mary shows up in a little bit bigger way, and of course Jesus shows up. Yeah, sorry, in a much bigger way, of course. These guys are way ahead of me on this, Ken. You know, and kind of know me. That's a little bit scary. There's a whole lot of drama. You guys, I just can't help but thinking about this drama deal. Do you remember? I know you're Christians, so you don't watch movies like this, but I bet you do over a compass. Christmas Vacation. What a holy group this is. No, yeah. We don't. Are you kidding me? No way. And you remember, you know, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You remember the Clark Griswold? And, of course, everybody remembers. Yeah, Cousin Eddie. I knew that was coming. And you know, they went in the beginning of the movie to cut down the Griswold family Christmas tree, to which they brought back, and you had the whole, there's a lot of drama there. And of course, they get it back to the house. It's all tied up in a rope. It doesn't fit. You remember, you know what, are you with me? All right. So, and what does he do? He says, I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree. And he snips that thing and, you know, the whole thing, I flipped off this stool then. But that whole thing just kind of comes apart. And what's his words? Come on, compass people. What's his words? Oh, give me a break. A lot of sap in here. Well, you guys all got saved all of a sudden. You don't watch stuff like that, right? Well, we don't watch it either, but we have friends that do. So, a lot of sap in here. That's what he said. Well, this Christmas story has a lot of drama in here. And yet, without any elaborate introduction nor drama, Mark just launches right out into the Christmas story. There's no way I'm turning around and looking at that. And he says, it's the beginning of the gospel to our, where'd our Greek student go? Oh, there you are. There you are. Yeah, euangelou, you know, from which we have the transliterated word evangelism. Often translated in English as good news. This was the good news never before heard story that Mark gives us. Now, I guess one could argue that the good news never before heard story actually was in God's heart from the beginning. You know, we could argue that, and I think rightly so. It wasn't as though the gospel just showed up with Jesus, but that was the really good news never before heard story, as we see in Jesus. But it was in God's heart all the time, this gospel. And what do we mean by the gospel? It's that God has done for each of us through Jesus that which we could never, ever do for ourselves. Amen. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? It's great news. I couldn't help but think back whenever I was just a boy of eight. Little beard. A boy of eight. And through Sunday school teachers and through choir leaders and through wonderful pastor, my parents, my dear grandmother that you know stories of, who shared with me that, Dougie, that's God's done something for you through Jesus. And that which you could never, ever, ever, ever do for yourself. We sang about it this morning, and as we were singing about it, at the cross, and these other wonderful songs. That's the Christmas story. When the gospel came in an amazing demonstration. Yeah, there was a lot of drama there, but as Michael reminded us, there was a lot of grace there. Of his fullness we have all received, John writes. Grace piled up on grace. But it was in God's heart from the beginning, for the writer of Hebrews says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, he was trying to get their attention, people's attention, all throughout history. But in these last days, he did something that, oh yeah, there was a lot of drama. He did something in these last days, for the writer of Hebrews writes, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he goes on to say, and this one, Jesus, is the exact representation, in Greek, the charakter, from which we get our English transliterated word, character. The very character of God was all wrapped up in this one, Jesus. The radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins at the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What a good news, never before heard story. So I just want to remind us this morning to put first things first. Absolutely. You cannot read Mark's gospel, his good news never before heard story, I think, without being gripped, and if you're taking notes, I hope you will, without being gripped with what I would call the immediacy of the message. Pretty immediate, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Son of God. I think it prompts the obvious question for us this morning. What was the gospel? So let me say it again. It's that God has done for us through Jesus that which we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves. What great grace he has made available to whosoever will. The obvious, and that's the obvious answer. No wonder in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, the passage that Michael had for last week, no wonder Joseph says he considered these things, and he considered all that was going on. He considered these things. Now, I know that that was with reference to putting Mary away because here this one that he was betrothed to Mary, a engagement ceremony. This one was now pregnant and he was he just had a lot of stuff on his mind. So no wonder he considered this. No wonder Matthew in Luke's gospel in chapter 2 and verse 19, it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. This good news never before heard story. The word immediately, when you look through Mark's gospel, as we think of the immediacy of the message, of telling folks about the gospel, and news is for telling, you know. It's not just for reading. It's not just for living, but it's for telling. News is for telling. How strange to turn on a news report. Well, these days, how strange to turn on a news report. I'll just leave it at that. But how strange to turn on a news report and nobody's talking. They're just gesturing. It really might help if they would just gesture. Are you with me? Are you with me? Anyway, if they just did this. No, they're telling. They're speaking. News is for telling. But So what you will find in Mark's gospel is you will find the word immediately used at least 40 times is what I could find. I've got them highlighted in my text. At least 40 times we see the word immediately. Now, I'm not surprised about all of that because You know, Mark traveled he was a traveling companion of Simon Peter. Are we talking a lot of immediately in here with Simon Peter's life? I mean, no wonder Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of a dove." Any hunters here? You ever shoot doves? Whatever the limit is on doves, you better take four times as many shells, because those things fly out. They're all over the place. It's not like a duck or something else that once it takes off, it's going in a certain path. And you can pretty well figure out how to claim your duck, okay, or whatever, you know. But a dove is different. Man, it's like you got to aim all over the sky to try to hit those things. It takes lots of shells for that. That's the way Simon Peter lived his life. When you look at the life of Simon Peter, he was all over the map. Talk about drama. A lot of immediately in here. Mark, his traveling companion. Most would believe that, you know, he was probably taking copious notes. Oh, man, he did that. Oh, man, he did that. All these other guys, takes him a long time to say something. Not Mark. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's an immediacy to the message. Now, here's the application for us as a church. I'm going to conclude each point this morning with making an application. One of the things that we have been talking about in our pastoral meetings is the fact that, okay, I get it. There's going to be this transition that's going on where Doug is transitioning out, Michael is transitioning in, but we want the church to transition forward. And so what does all of this have to do with you? Well, here's what I would say. I've always tried in these 16 years of our being a church and in the 50 years of ministry to communicate in a clear Caruso fashion with an immediacy, to share the gospel with whomever, wherever, and whenever. That is a great way for this church to enter 2019, to purpose in your heart that this 2019, I may not have been in the past so immediate with sharing the gospel. I may have missed moments, but I'm not missing them anymore. There's going to be an immediacy to the message, an immediacy to the message for all of us. You want to be an Aaron and a Hur that you read about in the book of Exodus, and you know their story. They held up the hands of Moses so that when Joshua was in the valley and he was fighting the enemy, as long as there was an Aaron and a Hur to hold up Moses' arms, then the battle was won. When his arms went down, it was lost. You want to hold up this man's arms? Let there be an immediacy to the message, to sharing the gospel that God has done for you through Jesus, that which you could never, ever, ever do for yourself. I can't think of anything right off that would help him and help the pastors more here. We're going to take our place doing that very thing. We're going to keep sharing. I've had so many people ask me, they said, "Well, what are you going to do when you retire?" I don't know. I've never retired before. My son, whenever we shared with him our plans to retire, he was a bit conflicted. He was a lot conflicted. Now we're talking drama. A lot of drama. A lot of drama in that boy sometimes, that man. And, his thought was, "Well, Dad, you know, you're going to retire and then you're going to die. What are you going to do that for?" I said, "Well, that's really an encouragement. I feel just really encouraged by all of that right now." I said, "No." I said, "You know what? I'm going to go right on doing what I do." You know why? You think for 50 years this has been a job? This is about calling. This is about calling. And, one of the things, talking to Melinda Powell, she oversees our preschool 3 area. And I was just complimenting her this morning on the excellence with which she does her with what she teaches in these precious preschoolers. And I was commending her on her excellence. And she said, well, you know why I do this? It's not just to do things with excellence. She says, I do this because when I was 4 years old, I sensed God calling my life to something higher. And she says, I do this for these preschoolers because I believe God speaks to them. And God's going to use them. And I want to be a part of that. How's that for the immediacy of the message? This has not been a job. This has been a calling. It'll continue to be a call. Now, I know, I suppose that there are opinions out there that say, well, you can be called and then you can lay it down. The ones that I know who have been called and have laid it down, it never goes good for them. When God speaks to you to do a thing and you say no to it, that's not a good place to be. So let the calling drive the things that you do and how you live and the things you say. So when people ask me, well, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. The downer in this whole deal is I'm going to keep doing stuff and not get paid anymore. That's kind of, you didn't know that, Sally? Sorry to break it to you, hon. So the application for you in this first point is this. Don't wait till 2019. Today. Craig had a wonderful word for us. Now's the time. Today is the day. You know, our parents used to tell us when we were this big, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. So let there be an immediacy to the message today. Today. Wherever you find yourself today. Whenever, wherever, and with whomever, be communicating clearly in a Caruso fashion that God has done for me. Can you believe it? For me. That which, through Jesus, that which he could, that which I could never do for myself. Communicate that clearly and powerfully and intentionally. Let there be an immediacy to the message. You cannot read Mark's good news, never before heard story, I think, without being gripped also with the authority of the Messiah. Now, why do I say that? Because it says Mark begins the beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. The Christ, Christos in Greek, Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, the one and only anointed one. I think it prompts the, you know, there were like 40 times you can read immediately in Mark's gospel. Well, 20 plus times you'll see the word authority, not typically in our English translations, but the word that is often translated authority in Greek. You'll find more than 20 times in Mark. And I think there's a reason for that. It prompts the question for us all this morning. How is this good news never before heard story to be communicated or to be proclaimed? And I want to say that there is an obvious answer. We need a heavenly infusion. We need a heavenly infusion. Mark chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, speaking of John the Baptist, and he was preaching, carousoing, and saying, and here's what he said. Hey, you know what? There's one there. I want to just tell you, there's one that's mightier than me that's coming. Now, don't get goofy with that, with Michael and all of that. It's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is we need a heavenly infusion. We need to know that God will breathe into us the breath of lives. And he will keep breathing in. He'll keep pouring his spirit into us. Yes, we come to Christ by an act of the Holy Spirit. By an act of the Holy Spirit, we come to Christ. But there are these subsequent baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, some of you are getting the shakes right now, thinking about that. Quit it. Quit it. Typically, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, typically, we begin to think about manifestations. Oh, you so cheapen the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you talk like that, or when you think like that. I don't care if you're going down on the floor. That's not important to me. That doesn't impress God. You know what impresses Him? What are you like when you get up off the floor? Are you with me? Now, I'm not poo-pooing all of that. You know, I told you about that in those days of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with my wife. She always went out underneath the exit sign. Every time we would go, see, you know, there we say, where's Sally? Well, just look for the exit sign. Well, there she is on the floor. Okay. Or any number of other manifestations that come. And the Bible is very clear about that. But if the experience that you have in the Holy Spirit, if it doesn't drive you to a deeper and fuller revelation of what Jesus has done in your life, I don't know about that experience. I'm not enamored by that stuff. What really drives me is to be around people who say, I've been filled and then baptized in the Holy Spirit as a subsequent experience, and I know it, I see it, I hear it, because they live their lives with a deeper and fuller revelation of Jesus. Often whenever I will pray in my quiet time early in the morning and I pray for my son, often I'll pray like this. I'll say, oh God, give John a deeper and fuller revelation of Jesus. And then you know what I hear? I hear God's Spirit say to me, yeah, and I want that for you too. Are you with me?
That's right.
Want that for me too. Don't you? That's how we're to communicate this wonderful message. It's not just that Jesus was born in a manger, but it's that Jesus was birthed in my manger of my heart. And He has done for me something that I could never do for myself. We need a heavenly infusion. Later on in John's Gospel, in chapter 3 and verse 30, John records the words. Takes him a little longer, a little more drama to John. A little longer than what it took Mark. But no wonder that he says, gives this as the words of John. He says, this one who's mightier than me, he must increase so that I decrease. That's so important, so critical. So whether it comes from me, or whether it comes from this wonderful pastor, or one of our other wonderful pastors here, or whether it comes from you, or you, or you, whoever you are, all of us, oh, that we might communicate the claims of the gospel with the authority of the Messiah. First family sure got a heavenly infusion, didn't they? That first Christmas story. You read those stories, and I know we read them every year. And sometimes, you know, in their familiarity, we miss stuff. But it is amazing, that story. A lot of drama. A lot of drama in there, wasn't there? Stars and angels. But then I hear God's Spirit say in my spirit, listen. Listen. Amidst all of that, listen. Listen. Jesus. Let me make an application here at this point for us as we look to 2019 as a church. Early in ministry, I experienced the, I won't say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd say a baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I experience these again and again. Often they're, often I call them my Holy Spirit bumps. You know, I'll read God's word and something will just leap off the page. The ink will come off the page and will be written on my heart as Jeremiah and the other prophets long for the day when God would write his words upon our hearts. And he's done that in Jesus by an act of the Holy Spirit. And so often when I read, rarely do I ever read God's word and I don't sense God really speaking to me. As best I know how, church, I have tried these 16 years to live my life to serve, to witness, to give, to pray. To visit, to counsel, under the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I've ever done any of these things, but what I haven't said to God en route to your house. Those days meeting with Raymond, the nursing home down there and other places. One of the things I never observed in your husband, is, you know, he suffered from crippling arthritis. And I had not ever noticed how deformed his hands were. I got to tell you, those hands aren't, they're not deformed right now. Are you with me? And I never will forget sitting there times and there at lunchtime and they'd bring his food and help wheel him to the table there and he would, you know, I'm thinking, how's he going to pick up those cups? Because his hands are like, they're like this. How can he do that? And he would take and he would put his, are you going to drink out of your cup anymore, Michael? Not now. Yeah, yeah. Cheers now. And he would, like, he couldn't grab the hold of a cup. He would put his thumb down inside the cup, like this. And he would, you guys, I know you've witnessed that for a long time. I just had never seen that before. Trying to drink stuff like that. I've thought a lot about Ray and this young man from your church, Ken and Cindy, that, you know, I'm assuming that he loved God and was a believer, youth group and stuff like that. While there is the pain of loss, you know, we want to lift up our eyes and see the reality of Ray's life now and all the difficulties that you guys have experienced as a family, all of you. In conversations and family stuff and his work and his health and all of those things, you do know those things are gone, right? You know they're gone. And I hate to break it to you. And I would hate to break it to this family of this 17-year-old that if given the opportunity to return, not going to happen. Think about you this time of the year, Jimmy, and others who have lost loved ones. Those who die in the Lord are precious. Amen. That's what the psalmist says. But as best I know how, I've tried to live my life and to serve you all. Serve the family of God by first saying, come, Holy Spirit. And reveal to me what this message, what this Messiah has done in my life. Oh, in these days, let's be gripped with the authority of the Messiah. How do you transition forward as a church come 2019? By sharing the gospel with an immediacy and by communicating that gospel in Caruso-like fashion with all the authority of heaven, with a heavenly infusion. If you don't have any other prayer in 2019 as we look forward to that year, let it be, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and give me a heavenly infusion. I don't want to be a wife, nor a husband, nor a son, nor a daughter, nor anything, anyone, unless your Spirit is in me and leading me. It's not about the manifestations, as wonderful as they are. It's not about that. We so cheapen the work of the Holy Spirit. That's my opinion. You may have a different opinion, and that's okay. I give you the right to be wrong. Hit the erase button on that. No, really, in all seriousness, we want a heavenly infusion as we think of this new chapter that God is going to write for the people called Centerpoint, right? We do. We need a heavenly infusion. A heavenly infusion. Well, lastly, you cannot read Mark's good news, never before heard story, I think, without being gripped by really this, I'm calling it the severity of the mess. The human condition is an absolute mess. A good word for that? Wilderness. Mark uses it at least four times in those first 13 verses. Says that he was, John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Interesting, isn't it, that when Jesus was baptized and all of that, what happened? Headed to the wilderness. And you know what? It wasn't because of his sin either. It was because of the Spirit of God. That's where God wants us. That's where you live. You live amongst a wilderness people. And what a great story that we have to share. Once I used to live there, but I've got a new address now. I don't live in the wilderness anymore because of what God has done for me. What a great message we have to share. That he's done for us through Jesus, that which we could never do for ourselves. We want to communicate that with a heavenly infusion, with all the authority of heaven. And we want to communicate that in the wilderness, because that's where we live. That's where we work. That's where we eat. That's where we play. In the wilderness. The obvious question, I think, that is begged here is this. Why is the good news, never before heard story, to be proclaimed with power? And it's got an obvious answer. Because we are terminal. Apart from this heavenly infusion, apart from being born again, being born from above, apart from living our lives like that, it's wilderness-like. It's wilderness-like out there, isn't it? And rather than kick against that about how bad everything is, be the good in the midst of all of that. You know what Jesus said? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Yeah, and the word tribulation there, Greek, thlipsis, is pressing. It's a pressure. It's pressing down. You feel pressure about stuff. You know, especially this time of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Man, what a pressure. Talk about drama. There's a lot, and there are a lot of saps that, anyway. There's a lot of drama that happens at this time of the year. And it's a tough time for people, especially those who lose loved ones at this time. I understand that. December the 11th. Forever changed our lives. But wow, December the 12th. Wow. We're terminal without the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Scripture says we've all sinned. Everybody. There's not one righteous. You know, even your best attempts trying to be righteous are like a bunch of filthy rags in a garage somewhere. Not in David Job's garage, because his garage is perfect. He doesn't have even... He doesn't have any of that stuff. That's why whenever we go hunting, he says, don't make me drive my truck through the mud. Let me drive your truck through the mud. Your truck kind of wears mud all the time. So I'm not doing that. I'm going to park my car down, my truck down the street. Park your... Everybody sinned. And if we don't get out of the sin, then it's pretty deadly, pretty terminal. So no wonder Joseph considered these things. No wonder Mary pondered these things in her heart. All right, here's the application. I'm going to close with this. Thank God. I alluded to it a while ago for parents and grandmother and Sunday school teachers. And for Reverend David Clazing. Whenever we would have church functions, picnics and things, when I was a little boy. In those days, we would do things, you guys know this. Your kids, nobody knows that. Three-legged races and sack races and things like that. You know, like old people talk about. It's probably not the truth, but this is what I remember, is David Clazing used to always encourage me on that. He said, I think you're going to win, Doug. I think you're going to win. In spite of the fact you just ate 13 hot dogs, I think you're going to win. I think you're going to win this race. And then he began to disciple me. 8 years old. Instilled in me a love for the Word of God. Thank God for my parents. My grandma Mary, you know about her. Almost 102 when she died, I preached her funeral, and the day before she passed away, she was getting old people up at the Fair Oaks Nursing Home. She was going around helping the old people. I said, Grandma, you're older than old. Wonderful servant. I learned so much from so many. What they instilled in me was, without him, I could do nothing. You know that song?
Yes.
Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him,
I would be drifting.
Drifting like a ship without sail. Mention his name. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Here's the question. Do you know him today? Oh, don't turn him away. Without him, I would surely be saved. Sing the chorus again. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. day. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. For without him, how lost I would be. So how do you transition into 2019? You can just keep playing through that, Ken. Make a commitment today regarding the immediacy of the message. The message? God's done for us through Jesus that which we could never do for ourselves. Doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? Let there be an immediacy to that. Don't put stuff off till tomorrow. Communicate clearly, Caruso fashion, what God's done for you. Oh, you know, the mantra that we have around here, Ken and Cindy, is we may not be what we ought to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. And why is that? That's because of what God's done for us through Jesus. See this little baby that was born. Not a lot of drama to Mark's gospel. He just says it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So make that commitment. I'm going to give us time here, about 10 minutes or so before we get our children. I'm going to give us time to recommit ourselves as a church to the immediacy of the message. And also to sharing that message by way of a heavenly infusion, the authority of the Messiah. God is in you. He's in you. That's when you came to Christ, he put himself in you. It's like whenever Jesus, after he was raised from the dead and he was with his disciples, at the end, you know, he came in through the doors that were shut. That's what that sounds like. And it says that he breathed into them and said, now receive the Holy Spirit. I think that's why Acts looks a whole lot different than the Gospels. It's because God did something for those guys that they couldn't do for themselves. I don't care that you had a lucrative fishing business, Simon and Andrew and James and John. That doesn't mean anything to me that you've got a successful business. That you're all jacked up and wanting to be politically correct, Simon Zelotes. That doesn't impress me. That you just walk around with a smile on your face all day, John. That's pretty good, but it doesn't really impress me. You know what impresses God is whenever you open yourself up to him and say, you know, I got nothing here. And you've got it all. Oh, come Holy Spirit. So live your life and communicate the gospel with all the authority of the Messiah. And there's a good reason why we ought to do that. It's because it's a wilderness out there, isn't it? Our condition is pretty terminal, pretty severe. So let's just quiet ourselves for these next few minutes. And let's just ask God to reveal himself to us right now.
Without him I surely fail, and without him I would be drifting, just like a ship without a sail.
Let's stand and let's sing. Jesus, oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus. Do you know him? be.
Heavenly Father, before we leave this place, we say again, thank you for the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you that when we were in our wilderness, you came and you found us. You searched for us. What an amazing God. And then to help us to communicate what you have done so effectively in our lives, you've given us your Spirit. You've put yourself in us, that we might be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Caruso-like, powerfully and clearly. All because of this amazing gift, God, let us put first things first. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Say hey to somebody in here and go get your kids. Go get your kids, okay? Go get your kids. Don't forget the adoption tomorrow at the courthouse, 8:30. We'll be there.